Hello and welcome, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. You're here just in time for The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining the resistance, and remember, the revolution will not be televised. However, it will be podcast. Bon, bon, bon. On today's show, Donald Trump says no take-backs after a French politician wants the Statue of Liberty back. And Elon Musk, yes, we know his name is Elon, catch up, will you? Elon Musk wants to know what's up with all the hate for him. Really, Elon? You don't know? Or do you? And Donald Trump, a man that knows divorce more than most, how he's going to end a war by treating it like a divorce. All this and so much more on today's episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Now get your glove on and get ready to catch some serious shit. Take it away, boys.
It's that time once again. Welcome to the program, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for being here.
That's right. We haven't been deported yet, and we're flying under the radar of journalists slash talk show hosts that Trump does want to have arrested.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's only a matter of time, right? I mean, it's now we live in a world where it can just be done. So
I think it'd be some good press if we did the next show from prison. So come at us. Come at us.
Send us to Venezuela. I mean, send us somewhere nice if you're going to do it, please.
I mean, Guantanamo Bay is in Cuba. That's tropical.
Yeah, I think so. We'll take whatever. Thank you for being here on the podcast today. We take whatever. Hate us, love us. We appreciate you. Please see our socials for more info on The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Indeed. YouTube, Reddit, TikTok. Those are the big ones. We do have some TikTok news I'll discuss later.
Oh, really?
Thank you for that. Facebook, Instagram, and the beautiful blue sky that I'm now regularly posting on so as to not upset that one guy.
Oh, good. See, we will cater to, you know, someone who's special like that. We will cater just to you. So you can also call our phone line. We've got a comment line, 844-48-VOCAL, and leave a comment, good or bad. We appreciate it.
That's right. And thevocalminority.net is our very own personal website. But as I've said before, I don't know who goes to websites anymore. So find us on the socials. But if you want to see our own website, it's there. It's beautiful. So beautiful.
It's the most beautiful website you've ever seen.
Right. I will make that claim.
Another busy week as my mind races with news. And, you know, I'm finally upset by the fact that, like, we've heard that the plan of the Trump administration is just to set out all these stupid comments and stupid things to distract us from the real shit that's going on. And it works, dude. I mean, it does work. Like, it takes me in a line where I'm like, what did they just say? And I put energy into thinking about it, you know, so it's a good move.
Yeah, it's fair. And I had this thought this morning that wouldn't it be nice if just all the media stopped covering Trump? Don't show up on Air Force One. Don't show up to the White House briefing room. Just stop covering the man. And on one level, that would deprive him of the oxygen he wants so badly. But he has us in a catch-22 because he is the fucking president. So how do we just not cover him?
Yeah, we got to see what he's up to. I mean, or we wouldn't even be able to try and hold him accountable for anything. So, I mean, that's really the only way that we know what he's doing until it's too late.
Having said that, there's all sorts of press that don't get to be on Air Force One or in the briefing room. So, I don't know. Maybe we could just no one show up in person anymore and let's just all stand back with our, you know, binoculars and cover him that way.
That would be interesting. I mean, he would be, you know how a kid acts out when you want attention? Like, yes. He would be acting out, dude. That'd be funny.
Or kind of like, you know, we did this whole boycott everyone for like a day where we weren't supposed to go on Amazon or Facebook just to stick it to him for a day. Like, I wonder what Trump would do if just for like a week, even a day, we all just didn't show up for any of this stuff. I bet he would have a freaking meltdown.
No one talked about him. Late night, SNL, podcasts like us. No one talked about him or discussed him. It was like Trump was dead.
Right. I don't know. And your brief headline teasers in the open there, I have to say, the Elon Musk thing I find funny because we continue to call him Elon Musk. And that, of course, is a reference to during the campaign when Trump called him Elon Musk.
Right.
So we posted a clip the other day where just repeatedly we called him Elon Musk, and a couple of mega types replied like, you idiots don't even know the guy's name is Elon. Like, we're supposed to listen to what you have to say. And I responded to each of them with essentially saying, So what you're telling me is only an idiot or moron would call him Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
I think they figured it out because none of them will respond. Or at least one of them, I told them, like, only a moron would call him that. Oh, wait, your man crush Trump called him that, and that's why we do it. As a joke, look up. It just went over your head.
Yeah. No, you got to get in on the inside jokes around here. Of course we know his name is Elon. We just refuse to call him that. So
it's such a great bait, though, because people, you idiots, his name's Leon. Oh, so only an idiot would call him Leon.
Right, yes.
Or his name's Elon, not Leon.
No, oh, you know the excuses all come out when it's him. You know, he talks all the time. If you talk that much, you know, you would make mistakes, too.
I didn't pick up on the Statue of Liberty story. Is that a full thing you got, or can we just discuss that quick?
Oh, we can talk about it. Yeah, we can talk about it briefly here. I got a piece of audio that'll kind of explain exactly what it's all about. Here you go. I think this is Peter Ducey talking to Leavitt or Leavitt, the press secretary.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
Wow. And it's only because of the French that we all don't have British accents.
Right. They are so down with the way Trump is talking. She's completely parroting everything and acting that low-level politician. Like, just answer the question, dude. You have a job. Like, it's not a stupid question. Like, I would want the Statue of Liberty back, too. You know, we bring your huddle, your poor, your, you know, bring the masses in. Like, I want it back.
It's clearly not a stupid question because we want to take the Panama Canal back, or we want to take Greenland. So for someone else to say we want our thing back from you is not preposterous at all. And yeah, of course, she has to slip some low-level insult in there. But yeah, for those of you ignorant of history, the French helped bail us out of the Revolutionary War and defeat Britain and make this the country that we are now.
Yeah, right. I mean, I love this new narrative that, you know, we want people, other countries, to show us how grateful they are. It is the American arrogance that has made other countries, some to a large degree in the Middle East, hate us and want to take us out.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. We're a bunch of arrogant douchebags right now. At least 49.9% of you are. The other 48.5% of us are doing our best to not embarrass us on the global stage.
You know what, dude? I got to be honest with you. You and I are getting ready to take a trip together for, part of the trip. We're going to Greece, and Rachel asked me the other day, like, I feel weird. Like, are we going to be welcomed or are they wanting nothing to do with us? I was like, I don't know. I mean, this was my response to her. I think it's not long as we're not wearing like a Make America Great Again hat or a Star Spangled T-shirt or something right. Like that, we should be okay. But if we get there and they are acting a little odd, I think we get hats or T-shirts made up that say, like, you know what? I don't agree with anything Trump's doing. Like, you know, please treat me like a human.
I didn't vote for him or something.
Right.
Yeah, I'm worried about it. I mean, I know we're going in tourist season and they want American dollars and all that. But yeah, the assumption will be that we're part of that cult thing going on back here in the homeland. And I know they used to say wear like Canadian flags on your backpack or something. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm not afraid to, I don't know, either dress in all blue or, yes, just make up T-shirts for us all saying we didn't vote for that guy or something. I don't need our, tzatziki sauce being jerked off in or something. You know what I mean?
Right. Unless it's going to make the flavor better. Like, I don't want it. Okay.
Well, a little salt always does help with flavoring. But that's, yeah, right. I mean, that's the kind of thing where they'll smile to your face and then, yeah, go take a dump in your cocktail and serve it out to you because they think you're a Trumper. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's something we're going to have to look out for. I know that, you know, people are saying, oh, don't go to Mexico right now. Like, none of you are really wanted in Mexico right now because we can't distinguish who is who.
I'll work on the Australian accent or something while we're there.
Yeah. Or we just have to end every sentence with A. You know, like, we're from Canada, eh?
Well, good luck to us all and anyone else traveling abroad for the next, like, 3.5 years.
At least. Busy news cycle, so shall we step into it?
Yeah.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
Yes, Clem, fellow countrymen. I can hear you.
Hello, Stephen. Can you hear me?
No. Is that British or is that Australian? I don't even know what Clem Fandango there is.
He's English.
Good day, Gubna. Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
You can hear him. All right.
Okay, let's talk some news. I teased it in the open, and I brought this up, I think, last week on the show. What's going on with the TikTok ban? We were given a 75-day extension, which is early April, and we have 16,000 followers and a whole bunch of likes and everything else on TikTok that I really don't want to lose. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So the latest, and I'm really hoping this pans out because I hate to be on the side of the Trump administration with anything, but we do want our TikTok. Not only selfishly for our own business purposes, I do have a lot of fun on TikTok, and I do think there's something fundamentally wrong about banning an app because some other country owns it, and no one has been able to say this is specifically what TikTok is doing. They're just worried they could do something. I'm more worried about Elon Musk doing something than I am the Chinese government.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, it is. So, the White House reportedly is inching toward a deal with TikTok to get this thing sold and taken care of. So, here's the deal. Talks around a potential sale of the U.S. subsidiary of TikTok have intensified ahead of the deadline sent by President Dictator Donald Trump. Vice President Jade the D. Vance, who has been tasked by Trump with overseeing this whole thing, said a couple of days ago that he expected a deal could be reached by early next month, although he warned there could be some paperwork that would delay this. The president has previously said that he would further extend the deadline if things were in the works. So last week, Trump said his administration was considering offers from four different groups, but it's now being reported by Politico and The Information that indicate that Oracle is the leading contender to acquire the U.S. operations of TikTok. Wow. The social media app already has a deal with Oracle to store all of its U.S. data.
I must be naive, dude. Like, I knew Oracle was a huge company, but I didn't know they were big enough to throw their weight around like that.
Yeah, I mean, Oracle's one of those companies that has their hands in a lot of things, but they are a big data service provider. So, I mean, all these tech companies are worth billions. And Oracle, on the list, without diving too deep into them, I would probably feel the best about. Apparently, the other people trying to get this is a startup called Perplexity AI. I don't like anything in the AI title.
Or just a startup. Like, we need someone that knows what they're doing to take care of this. You know, that makes me nervous.
Also, billionaire Frank McCourt, the former owner of the LA Dodgers, he has joined forces with the Reddit co-founder and the Shark Tank guy, Kevin O'Leary. So I don't want O'Leary. As much as I love Shark Tank, that guy's gone off the deep end.
Yeah, he's a Trumper.
Indeed. So, I mean, worst case, any private company, if you just buy the stupid thing and keep it going, that'd be great. But Oracle seems to be in the front of the race, and I think they'd be the most trustworthy. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's see what happens. I mean, I gave you a softball. You should have hit it out of the park. Like, this is a softball. You don't have to do anything, dude. It already works better than anything on the market or anything in development. So just keep running it. You could be golden.
Yep. The only small problem that I'm hoping is being addressed behind the scenes is the Chinese government has never said they're willing to sell this thing. They've said the opposite repeatedly. And have yet to be like, yeah, it's officially for sale. We will sell it. But if these talks are going on, I hope the Trump administration is not just saying, well, on our end, people are willing to buy it, but we haven't actually talked to the Chinese. I hope this is all being connected so they're not just teasing us.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, as we spoke on the podcast before about this, we were saying, like, yeah, they don't want it to just be completely pulled. So I would imagine that they would get together and do a little slow dance and come up with something that could be mutually beneficial. Right. But you're right. That's all I've heard from them, their lips. Like, yeah, we don't want to sell it. It's like the Panama Canal, dude.
Right. And you may think, geez, America is a gigantic country. They don't want to lose, a country this big. And on one level, that's true. But as we previously discussed, I'm working with a web designer in India right now who can't get on TikTok because he lives in India and that entire country, they banned them. So TikTok said India, which is a gigantic country, we don't need you.
India's tiny, dude. maybe they think that people don't have a great desire and need for it in India. I don't know what their usership was like, but in America, I mean, how many people are on TikTok? It's hundreds of million. 100 million?
Yeah, which is close to half the country. We're, I think 330 is our official population, so 100 million. So that's, you know, between a
huge.
Third and a half.
Yeah.
Do you keep seeing these TikTok commercials that are basically, I mean, they're good ads, but they're basically propaganda, public service announcement kind of thing, where they're like, my name's Farmer Billy, and I'm on TikTok, and my organic soap exploded on TikTok, and now I'm able to feed my whole family.
No, dude, I did not at all.
I don't want to call it propaganda, but they're trying to get the word out to the masses. Like, hey, there are Americans that make money on this platform, and we've helped change their lives, and they're not wrong.
TikTok has turned into something like Google, you know, where we used to just be like, Google it. A lot of the times, I'll tell Rachel, TikTok it. See if anyone's talking about it, or see, you know, if you can find a video on it. We were making the St. Patrick's Day dinner yesterday, and I wanted the recipe for something. Type it right into TikTok. I had 1,000 recipes of people telling me how to do shit. Like, anything's there.
Wow. I didn't even know that was an option. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I heard some comedian the other day doing a bit about talking to his buddy about, you know, what's going to happen if TikTok gets banned. And his buddy's like, I could do without all the drag queen videos. And his friend's like, that's what you see on your feed? And he's like, yeah, everyone sees the drag queens, right? He's like, no, that's your algorithm, apparently. What are you into?
Yeah. Well, that is hilarious because, yeah, I mean, your algorithm follows you. And our old producer on this show used to say, like, I don't want to go on TikTok. Like, I don't want to see a bunch of 12-year-old girls dancing. Right. And we struggled to explain to him, like, my 12-year-old niece might see that, but that's not what I'm seeing, dude.
I'm reading/listening to Chris Hayes' new book. I think it's called The Call of the Siren or The Siren's Call, one of those two. And it's all about attention, you know, getting people's attention. And it's a fascinating book, and it deals with exactly what you and I do for a living as far as trying to get space in this podcast world or get people's attention on TikTok and how short the attention spans are. But he had this good little chapter where he was talking about trying TikTok. This was a couple of years ago. He's like, I kept hearing about it. So first of all, Chris Hayes, I didn't know this. He's some level of a stoner.
Oh, really?
Yes. He says in this book that, you know, he had a rare night home alone. The wife and kids were gone. He's like, so I took an edible. I sat on the couch. And 2 hours later, I realized how long I'd been scrolling TikTok. And that TikTok knows I'm stoned, knows what rabbit holes to take me down. time got sucked into the thing, you know.
He's not wrong, dude. I mean, that's exactly how TikTok works. I can't tell you how many times it's happened to, well, both of us. But that's funny. I didn't know. And I wouldn't have assumed he was a stoner.
Damn liberals. All a bunch of stoners. I hope they pull out the TikTok deal. I will give a limited pat on the back to the Trump administration for it. And I say limited because it's in their own best interest, too. He's got 100 million followers or whatever it is.
Yeah, he wants to keep talking to the youth of America. He already told us that. So the best place to do it, right there on TikTok.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Welcome to the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. So much news today, dude. I think I'm going to take you outside of politics for a minute and talk to you about a story that I wouldn't say it's happy news, so don't get too excited.
Okay.
I came across a story last week, okay, and I'm going to be really honest with you. If you listen to the podcast, you know I'm so immature, and bad stuff makes me laugh. You know, I'll say it, okay?
Okay.
I came across a headline, and I had to laugh at the headline, but let me assure you that reading through the story, like, I know this is a sad, terrible story, okay? But here's the headline. Are you ready?
Please, yes.
Boy 10 crushed to death when 340-pound foster mom sits on him because he was acting up.
Right, you know, halfway through that headline, I thought you were a terrible person, but 340-pound foster mom sits on him? Like, that is funny on the surface. I'm assuming the death of a small child, though, gets sad at some point.
it is sad right out of the gate. And that's why I was like, I'm a terrible person. So I'm glad you laughed at that, at least for a little relief on my side of things. This comes from the New York Post, though. A 10-year-old Michigan boy from your hometown died after his obese foster mother sat on him for 5 minutes for acting up, crushing him under a 340-pound frame. Jennifer Wilson is this lady, and she told police of young Dakota Stevens had fled from her home that morning and that he was misbehaving after she retrieved him from the neighbor's house. Wilson said the 91-pound boy threw himself on the front lawn outside her home, at which point she sat on him while calling his caseworker as he screamed and eventually stopped moving. According to the court documents viewed, that, you know, she killed him before authorities or his caseworker ever got there. So, yeah, this is a terrible story. And when I started reading this, don't smile at me, dude. Listen, when I started reading this story, I thought to myself, like, I have some experience with the foster community because my wife and I were foster parents for a while.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a big downer, but what I found in at least Washington State's foster care community is a lot of terrible, terrible shit. Kids are often abused. Kids are often mistreated. There's a lot of laws that need to be changed. So this is not a one-off, dude. I mean, maybe it's a one-off that how he died, but this happens a lot, abuse and neglect. And we will roll into a new story now, and I want you to just try and fathom this for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Do I get to comment on the crushed kid, or are we moving
on? Oh, yeah. No, please, comment on the crushed kid before I move on.
Okay. First of all, I assume the local police department immediately hired this woman, knowing she has prior experience of crushing the life out of people.
I don't know. I'll have to check into that, dude, and see. I don't know.
And secondly, I think the foster community, the foster parent community, has to be similar to, like, the Boy Scouts or the Catholic priests. Like, a lot of them get into it because they're good people and want to do good. The other part get into it because they want to molest and abuse children. I'm not joking about either of those.
Sure. No, I get what you're saying for sure. The foster community is even worse on one level, or on a couple levels. The foster community is worse is because they get paid. If you want to be a foster parent, like, you get paid. So the more kids you have and are fostering, the more you get paid. And some people just make a career out of it.
Yeah, no. And what kind of a moron doesn't think that a 300-something pound human would crush a 90-pound child?
I mean, she had to be sitting on his chest, you know, like we've seen grown men die from other grown men sitting on them. George Floyd, that type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I also think a lot of people get into fostering kids, like you said, with good intentions, and then see not only how hard it is, but how taxing and grating it can be. And I think that it messes them up a little bit, that they stay with it because they think it's the right thing, but they start neglecting and abusing these foster kids. So it's a really messed up thing.
No, for sure. I abuse my kids for free. I didn't know I could get paid for this. What the hell? Come on.
You're allowed, dude. You're not fostering. They came from you.
I told my kids once, if anything goes sideways, I could just make another one of you. Like, you guys were free. I just made you. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you think you were some of my best work? Just wait and see.
Right. Okay. Terrible story. What else you got?
All right. Let's go over to tell you a little bit about a woman named Kimberly Sullivan. Okay. Yeah. A man says his stepmom locked him in a room for decades, and he escaped by setting a fire just this past week. This was a little 11-year-old boy at the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. He went to school often with, you know, dirty, matted hair, kind of stinky. You could tell he wasn't cared for, and he was oftentimes emaciated. So, being mandatory reporters, the school district has to report that shit. You know what I mean? Yep. And they did, and CPS made a house call, okay? After they made that house call, the kid was never seen at school again. He was 11 years old.
Wow.
Last week, firefighters responded to a fire and went to this house, and that's where Kimberly Sullivan lives. There was a 32-year-old man living in a locked bedroom upstairs, and he had been there for the most part since he was 11 years old.
Wow. It took him this long to figure a way out of that room, huh? I get the 12-year-old couldn't do it, but 20-something, 30-something? Jeez, man.
I mean, he's got to be under all kinds of psychological abuse, you know, being locked in a room with no bathroom. So he had to find different ways to go to the bathroom. He received two ham sandwiches a day and 2 cups of water. Wow. So this kid would stockpile stuff from time to time, but he finally and I think he had tried in the past but it hadn't worked. He finally got the idea that he had hand sanitizer somehow. Maybe the mother put it in there, and he took rags and soaked them in hand sanitizer and started this fire. Caught the house on fire. Firefighters showed up. Okay, they get this boy who is, I say boy,
yeah,
because he's now 32 years old. But, well, let me play you something here, dude. This was the statement that the lawyer made about this woman. Her name, once again, is Kimberly. And here's the deal, dude. She was his stepmother. Okay. She was married to his father. And his real mother never in the picture. His father died last year. And, I mean, obviously, a father died. He knew all this stuff was going on, but he died, and she kept rolling with his wishes here. Her attorney made a statement.
The 56-year-old stepmother appearing in court today, facing multiple charges, including assault, kidnapping, and unlawful restraint. Her attorney saying she denies all allegations, appearing to place some blame on the accuser's biological father, who died last year.
He's the one that dictated how his son would be raised. She's not the villain she's being made out to.
Oh, wow. I mean, coming from an attorney, dude, that's the best you got? I mean, here's the thing. This is a trash person, but we have to agree that everyone deserves a defense. But when you're defending someone like this as a lawyer, like, that's your defense? Like, that's how the dad wanted her to raise him, so she continued to do it.
Listen, that defense may have held some water if the dad was still alive. And the stepmom was trying to claim, like, he's running the house, I get him viral, but come on, he's been dead for a year or whatever, but I'm honoring his wishes by still torturing his adult son.
Yeah, we've said all the time on this show, you know, complacency, silence is violence, like, that's not going to roll. This kid, when they brought him out to the ambulance, when the firefighters saved this young man's life, who knows if he'll ever be right. You know, with that long of psychological...
I know. And the answer is no. He will not ever be right.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but I laugh because you're right. I mean, how do you get past all that? 5'9 was his height. His weight was 86 pounds.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, the people asked him, like, are you hungry? And his statement was, hungry all day, every day for my whole life.
I mean, like 5'9", 80, that's like 100 pounds, give or take, underweight.
Yeah.
I was going to say, why didn't he just overpower this woman or bust through the door? But obviously, he didn't have the strength.
Yeah. So I'm going to follow this and see what happens to this lady. I mean, I don't think there's any punishment that can really be bad enough for treating another human being like this. But we'll see what the judge says.
Well, I would say solitary confinement with 2 ham sandwiches a day. That would be appropriate.
And no bathrooms, that kind of shit. Treated him the same way. I mean, let me just tell you that while Luigi Mangiano is not out on bail, that she's out on bail.
Wow. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Isn't that something?
What the hell southern state was this in?
I think this was in
Michigan.
I think it was in Connecticut.
Connecticut? Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, Connecticut. Yeah, fire in Connecticut home. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But this guy's 32 now, and like I said, we'll follow him. He's basically been locked in that room since he was 11 years old. He said, "I wanted my freedom. That's why I started the fire. I finally got the courage up to make it happen." So wow.
This is why you don't give kids matches, okay?
He had a cigarette lighter. I'm wondering, like, how did you get that cigarette lighter, dude? Maybe he took it off his mom. I don't know, but he got crafty. So good on him.
Well, I hope he's not smoking. That'd be bad for his health.
Boy, dude. Oh, boy.
Don't add on top of things. I'm just saying, that's a bad habit. So don't start that, kid.
All right.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Nuff said.
Steve Harness.
That's me. Send your letters. I love that after all these years, I can still offend or wear you out mentally.
So you can. Good. You can. I just wonder, do I take part in this? Silence is violence. So.
Oh, yeah. No, you're a big enabler for sure. So.
All right. Good.
I'll get the longer sentence, but you'll be on trial too. Don't worry. All right. We've been talking for a while on this show about the coming constitutional crisis. At what point will the Trump White House simply ignore an order from the, you know, from a judge, from the judicial branch, one of the three equal branches of government?
Right.
Well, we seem to be teeing it up. I kind of feel like it already happened, but some people are saying it's somewhat of a gray area, but I don't know. President Donald Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, suggested in a news interview that happened today on recording day that his administration is simply fulfilling its mission to deport immigrants that they deem to be dangerous. So we heard over the weekend that a judge ordered the Trump administration not to use this 200-year-old wartime law that would allow a president to deport people they consider to be, you know, enemies of the state. And first of all, we're not at war. Trump tried to say, oh, we're essentially at war because these people are invading our country, right?
Yeah, it doesn't work. I don't feel like.
No. So a judge said, hold on, time out, pause. We need to evaluate whether this is constitutional, what you're essentially doing. And the Trump White House went ahead and did it anyways and deported hundreds of alleged, you know, gang members to Venezuela or something, right?
That's exactly what happened. And yeah, the court orders were defied. I mean, it was the way that they did it, dude. It was no secret that they were doing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to claim that when the judge told us we can't do it, oops, the planes were already in the air and over international waters. So what you gonna do? You know, we can't possibly tell them to turn around, even though that's specifically what the judge ordered them to do. And I'm sure if Barron Trump, you know, stowed away on the plane, they would tell him to turn around, right?
Of course, dude. I've got some audio on this from the NCAA lawyer, if you would like to hear it, too.
The NCAA?
Like, or the tournament? The ACLU, sorry. Yeah. Just a little basketball.
Let me read the quote here real quick from Tom Homan, then I'd like to know what a lawyer says.
Yeah.
Homan said, quote, "We're not stopping. I don't care what the judges think. I don't care what the left thinks. We're coming." I mean, they're just flat out saying that we don't really care. And they keep claiming that the judges have no constitutional authority to be questioning them, even though it's a fundamental part of the Constitution and what our democracy is supposed to be. So go ahead. What'd the lawyers say?
We raised several questions in a filing last night at 2:15 a.m. about whether any flights left after the court's order, whether any flights landed after the court's order, and then whether anybody was handed over to the Salvadoran government after the court's order. If any of that happened, it's a violation of the court's order and a very, very serious matter. The fact that they might have been in international territory makes no difference because the U.S. had custody of these individuals and the judge specifically ordered them to be returned. If we're going to hear answers from the government, but if any of that happened, we are one step closer to a sort of constitutional crisis with the government flatly defying court orders.
Yep.
That's unbelievable, dude. I mean, once we hit that tipping point, I read something today that said, you know, how quickly Hitler dissolved things and took a democracy into a dictatorship. Yeah. And we are in that process. How long has he been in office?
2 months, give or take.
2 months. I think we got another month to go. I think it was done in 3 months' time. And they said in this article, they were showing parallels between exactly what Hitler did and exactly what the people of the Trump administration and Project 2025 are doing, and saying it's pretty much on par with how it happened. And we've got about 30 days to figure out if the plan works on this side of things.
We're going to beat that 30-day window. Nobody does a dictatorship better than us.
No one does it any faster than we do.
Right. Oh. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, said in a statement that the judge's order, quote, has no lawful basis. I love it. They're the judiciary that has no lawful basis to tell you guys to pause, huh?
That's all they have. They are the law, dude.
All right. Trump's administration also faced a rebuke from U.S. District Court Judge Leo Sorokin, who wrote that there are grounds to believe that officials, quote, willfully defied his order to give advance notice before deporting a Brown University medical professor. So one of these people was not just an alleged gang member, a professor at Brown University. That's like Ivy League level school. Yeah. So certainly someone like him deserves the benefit of a reprieve to be like, well, let's make sure that he's guilty of something. Let's make sure we have the authority to do this. But no, deported.
We've heard them all talking over the last 24 hours about the fact that a green card doesn't mean you have citizenship. Like Marco Rubio was speaking on the issue and he said, you know what? We interviewed him when he came in, these people, when they came into the country, and they told us one thing. And then like this guy, I'm brain farting on his name, but he was speaking at a protest.
The student protester. I don't know his name off the top of my head either, but yeah, at Columbia.
That, you know, his actions showed that he lied when they were interviewing him to come into the country. So, yeah, we'll send him home. If we would have known you were going to do that, we never would have let you in. So that's a really, really rocky road to go down to treat people like this.
Yeah, a green card means you have some level of protected status. So to pretend you can just revoke it without any sort of, you know, hearings or trials or anything, I mean, talk about a slippery slope. They clearly went after him because they were pissed off at Columbia, who they've now, I think, cut $400 million in federal funding to Columbia. I mean, yeah, they have political axes to grind, and they are trying to censor free speech, whether it's a student protester like that or them going after MSNBC this past week here, saying that, you know, what these talk show hosts are doing is illegal and that they should go to jail. The president of the United States said that we should be locking up reporters because, in his words, something like 97% of what they say is false. Meanwhile, it's not, as I've said many times, facts have a liberal bias. So I'm real sorry if the facts rub you the wrong way when someone like Rachel Maddow or Chris Hayes just simply spells it out like it is.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. Sorry, facts have a liberal bias. I mean, that's just, they're facts, dude. You're just stating facts here. How can you go around that? They're facts. It's the truth, but you don't like it. And that is such a juvenile way to act. And that's exactly what you are. You're all a bunch of petulant children.
Yeah. And listen, I know a lot of people are assuming that these people being rounded up must be the worst of the worst. And this is the problem of what happens when you start rounding a bunch of people up. I'm sure the majority of them probably are bad people, probably do have committed crimes or have outstanding warrants or whatever. There still needs to be a process to review that. But you're always going to get innocent people sucked up in this kind of thing. So let me just segue real quick into another story here on that same sort of topic. A Canadian actress who was in one of the American Pie movies, and now she's an entrepreneur. Like, she's Canadian. She's white. Her name is Jasmine Mooney, Canadian actress and entrepreneur, is speaking out after she was detained for nearly 2 weeks by ICE. She was traveling from Vancouver to where she works in Los Angeles when a U.S. border officer at the Vancouver airport informed her that her 3-year work visa had been revoked. So, seeking to renew her travel authorization, Mooney then attempted to enter the U.S. through the San Ysardo, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, a border crossing in San Diego, where she originally obtained the visa, and they detained her on March 3rd. She says, I was put in a cell and had to sleep on a mat with no blanket, no pillow, just an aluminum foil wrap over my body, like a dead body just laying there for 2.5 days. And then they deported her to a facility in Arizona with 30 other women where she says, quote, we were up for 24 hours and we were all wrapped in chains. I've never in my life seen anything so inhumane. And the British Columbia premier, I don't think this woman's actually been released yet, according to this article, said that the harm this does to the U.S. economy through impact to tourism, business relationship, and skilled workers unable to attain visas is reckless. This woman should be brought back to Canada as quickly as possible.
Yes, she should. While you were reading that story, I'm sitting here thinking, like, gosh, you know, do you have any idea how much she adds to our economy with the work that she brings to America and does? And then I realized, like, why am I even thinking about that? Like, this is at its heart is a humanitarian issue of, you know, how you're treating people. And yes, like you're talking about the Venezuelan gangs and the worst of the worst. Like, this woman has been in our country adding to our economy, and you're treating her that way. Who knows how you're treating other people, even if they are criminals.
Right. She was in American Pie. Not the original, but she was in one of them. How much more American can you be than being
right,
American?
Yes.
Listen, I get she's not a U.S. citizen, but she's a Canadian citizen and had a work visa that had just been revoked. Yet still, they lock her up, have her sleep on a floor with an aluminum foil wrap. They shackle her, send her to Arizona. They were up for 24 hours. I mean, I don't care if you get to be released on the flip side of that whole process. That is traumatic, to say the least. And we've already heard stories of Canadian businesses canceling contracts here, Canadian tourists that want nothing to do with us, and just our image on the world stage. So I get that we're trying to round up the bad guys, but slow the fuck down and make sure we're doing it correctly.
100%. I mean, this is how you get... We already have an issue with this country, with our own people that are incarcerated, where a certain percentage of them, some that are put on death row, are innocent and found out to be so 30 years later. And look how slow our justice system moves. If you think that you can rain justice down on this whole country and the illegal aliens that are here as criminals, you're sorely mistaken, dude. We get it wrong enough with these slow wheels of justice that we have right here in our country.
I think a big part of this, too, is they do not want to build the concentration camps that they know they would need to in order to house these people while they do it correctly. They don't want the appearance of that. So they're just going to fast track it. And like Holman said in that first article, we don't care. We don't care. We're just going to do this. He actually said in that interview that he loves his job. He loves waking up every day so he can go do stuff like this.
Yes, I saw that, dude. And it was like you would hear, you know, a doctor saving cancer kids' lives. You know, he was like, I love it. I'm invigorated. You know, like, these are sick people, dude. These are really sick people. I'm all for getting dangerous criminals out of our country that are here illegally. Like, I'm all for that. But let's do something with a little care and concern for not letting innocent people get mixed up in all of it.
Yep. No, Trump just wants the headlines, and those don't come with a slow, meticulous process.
I'm going to do it very quickly. Very quickly. That's exactly what he's doing.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on!
News, 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 news!
Welcome to Need to Know News. This is all news that you need to know. Let's see here, dude. Well, maybe we should talk a little bit about this whole story with Donald Trump claiming that Biden's pardons for the January 6th committee are null and void because he used an auto pen. Have you heard it?
I heard about the tweet that I believe was set out in the middle of the night last night, which, I mean, good God, if I caught my children tweeting at 2 a.m. or whatever, I would tell them, you've got a freaking problem. Put that phone down and get back to the real world.
And also, like, people are going to see what time you posted and think you're weird, dude. Like, come on. This is his truth, his tweet that he made at 2:30 in the morning. The pardons that Sleepy Joe Biden gave to the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs and many others are hereby declare void, vacant, and of no further force or effect because of the fact that they were done by auto pen, Trump wrote in his True Social statement. If you don't know what auto pen is, it's basically just that, a pen that automatically signs for you when you're a person who has to sign a lot of different shit. It turns out, from everything I can read on this, that there are some copies of this that have been uploaded to the web so people can read them and look at them. And those are AutoPen versions. But Trump went on to talk about the fact that Sleepy Joe Biden didn't have any idea that these were being signed. He didn't sign them. That's why they're used AutoPen. That's real easy to figure out because there's video of him signing them. You know,
and immediately talking about it to the press. It's yes. not as if, you know, months went by and someone, you know, he's like, wait, what? What did I sign? Of course not. And even if it's a quote unquote auto pen, it's still legally binding. My dad, forever being a doctor, he used to have a physical rubber stamp that had his signature because they signed so many things. But it's still legally binding. And of course, Biden was well aware of it. And no pres. That's the thing about pardons. You can't question it. It's a right of the president. So the next guy does not get to just declare like a king that it's null and void.
Yes, completely. Everything you just said. I mean, there's the Constitution states you cannot, you know, challenge a pardon. Once a president makes it, the pardon lives on in perpetuity, infamy. So, these are the things that I was alluding to at the beginning of the show, that like these are the trails that they're sending us off on to, you know, think about this shit and you think, wow, that's crazy. But they're hiding something else behind this story. And it could be so many different things. We just don't know. I just got a couple quick things I'm going to follow you up with here. Sure. Stupid stuff that we have to hear because, well, we need to know. Trump was standing in front of his podium talking about firemen and talking about how great and brave they were. This is unbelievable.
That includes our fire departments, too. They don't get spoken about enough. You know, they go into some of the areas I read where they're shooting them off ladders. Can you believe it? They go up to put out a fire, Leo, and they go and they shoot them off a ladder. It's just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
That is very unbelievable. I've never, ever, ever, ever heard a story about that. Not to mention firefighters are revered. They're heroes. They walk in any bar in America and are blown within 30 seconds.
Yeah, they get their payback. But have you ever heard of a firefighter being shot off a ladder? Like,
what
this is something
he possibly referencing there.
Who knows? I mean, it's these fake stories that he makes up, you know, because he said, well, they go into some of these areas. You know, he's talking about dangerous neighborhoods, go into some areas and they're just shot off ladders as they're fighting a fire.
I hear that Trump has dementia. Have you not heard that? Because I hear that. I don't know if you're aware of that. He also molests little boys. I mean, we can say anything, apparently, as long as I've heard it somewhere.
Yeah, somebody mentioned to him. I'm sure Barron was like, I was playing this video game. You got to, you know, shoot the firefighters off the ladders or something. And he pulled it into reality. I mean,
maybe that's what it is. Barron was playing Donkey Kong. He saw Mario fall down one of those ladders and thought it was CNN or something.
Right. It could very well could have been, dude. Because I want to really fact check what we talk about on this program, I looked on Snopes. Snopes had no record of even a story, or they didn't even address it. So I asked my AI, and she said, we can find no credible information on that story ever being reported.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that would make the local news, if not the national news. But yeah, I mean, again, like he's just operating from a non-reality. And maybe it is a little dementia settling in, but it's just brainwashing, gaslighting, propaganda bullshit. Have you heard? Because now that the president said it, now other people in MAGA world are going to say, well, the president said it. It's a credible source. It must be happening.
It's all it takes, dude. We've seen that time and time again. I mean, they just believe what he says. So I guarantee we're going to hear this somewhere else of, you know, the MAGAites saying like, oh, yeah, you know, it's the most dangerous job ever. They're being shot off ladders, dude.
Yeah. Listen, I would encourage anyone, if you're out around town, grocery store, whatever it is, firefighter walks in, go up there, thank him for his service and say, listen, I hear you guys are getting shot off ladders. Like, I'm worried about you, and just see what their response is.
Dude, that is the most absurd thing. I played it for Rachel earlier and she was like, she turned around and walked away. She didn't even have anything to say, dude. Just like, that's the correct response.
Oh, America.
So, good there time. You go.
Yes. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special.
Here is
program.
A news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring
you. All the humanity and all the
faith. A state which will live in infamy.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Yeah. Our buddy Leon Elon Musk back in the news yet again. The man who is sick of being called a Nazi. You know, I mean, we're seeing all these stories all over the country about Tesla cars and charging stations being vandalized, Nazi swastikas, people like Bill Burr ridiculing him for doing the Sieg Heil salute that he claims is just throwing my heart out and all that.
Right.
So, and we've been hearing for months, going back to the election, like, stop calling Trump and his people Nazis and Hitler and all this stuff. And we have said repeatedly, stop doing things that make us think of you as Nazis and Hitler, and maybe we'll stop calling you that. So, Elon Musk, who was tasked earlier this year with firing thousands of federal workers, shared a post that blamed, quote, the public sector employees for mass killings committed under Adolf Hitler and other dictators.
Come again?
Yeah. The Thursday repost on Musk's X account read, quote, Stalin, Mao, and Hitler didn't murder millions of people. Their employees did.
Wow, dude. Yeah. Wow. What the fuck is going on?
He did later delete the tweet, by the way. But, I mean, what a preposterous argument to say that if a general or a leader or a mob boss orders something that, well, I didn't execute Scarface myself. I sent the hit squad to do it. So, I mean, he was trying to be, I think, cutesy about, hey, these public sector employees, they're the dangerous ones. They're the ones actually committing the crimes that the higher-ups directly ordered them to do. But what an asshole, insincere thing to say. Hitler did not kill millions of people. The people he told to do it did it.
It is. It's so insensitive, dude. And I, you know, like we've been telling people, like, oh, you don't think he did Heil Hitler salute? Like, you show me what he did then. And it's like, go say this to someone who was, is a Auschwitz survivor. You know, like, go say that to someone and see if you can say the same shit with putting a person in front of the story.
Yeah. Or do it at your next staff meeting or whatever. Like, yeah. No one wants to do it because they know what it's like. And I've seen multiple people on, you know, man on the street interviews where they're like, you do it. And they're like, you know, they casually just, oh, I throw my heart out. Like, they just put their hand limply out in front of them as if,
right.
Which is what you would do if you're saying that. None of them duplicate the exact gesture because they know how bad it looks, obviously.
Of course, dude. Of course. We all know what he did in this this season, this day and age of gaslighting on full flame. Like, you can't gaslight me out of this. I know what I saw, and we all do, but you just are unwilling to say it.
And like we said before, it'd be one thing if Musk came out and said, oh, whoa, 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 I've seen the video, I know what it looks like, you know, but no, of course that's not what he was doing. But, you know, Musk deleted this tweet that I just talked about, which is an admission of guilt. But recently, the Anti-Defamation League said it is deeply disturbing and irresponsible for someone with a large public platform to elevate the kind of rhetoric that serves to undermine the seriousness of these issues. Now, keep in mind, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, previously defended Musk when he appeared to give that Nazi salute at the inaugural celebration for Trump, saying that Musk should be given a bit of grace, or perhaps even the benefit of the doubt. But the ADL then changed its tune after Musk went on Twitter and made jokes about his salute, saying, bet you did not see that coming. And they said, like, no, 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 you're not owning it. Now you're making more jokes about it. So then the ADL said, never mind. We take our benefit of the doubt away because he's just eliminated it.
They gave him that benefit of the doubt initially because that they said that he was on the spectrum, that, you know, like that he's a little neurodivergent. So but yeah, you take it back when he says something like that, like not see that, like he knows what he did.
Of course. And even if, like, you don't make freaking Nazi jokes when someone accuses you of doing the Sieg Heil, like, you own it, you denounce it, you apologize. Like, that's not what I meant. But no, doubling and tripling down and now sharing an article trying to blame public service workers for enacting the orders of dictators. I mean, it's just beyond disgusting.
Yes, and if nothing else, it's completely insensitive, dude.
Yeah. And this is why we keep calling you people Hitler and Nazis and everything else. Stop inciting them. Stop referencing them. You should not be tweeting, reposting anything with the title Hitler in it. Just stay the hell away from it. It's like Catholic priests posting the next Boy Scout meeting. Like, no. You're on the radar. Just stay away from it all. None of it's funny. Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right. Yeah. You got to read the room a little bit here. Do you like it at all when I give out stories that I acknowledge as being unfact checked, but they are unfact checked?
Well, I think it's fun. They're usually pretty easily debunked, but yeah. What do you got this week?
All right. Well, this disc rolls into Elon Musk. You know, we all, I hope, saw him on the White House front lawn with Trump and the Tesla, you know, buying the Tesla.
Tesla's run by computer.
I love Tesla. This is funny, dude, because apparently from what the interwebs are saying, and I did try and fact check this and couldn't. Okay. Marco Rubio revealed some text messages to a buddy of his where he said that he walked into the Oval Office and Elon Musk was laying on President Trump's lap on the couch. Okay. Yeah. And Trump was petting his head, like comforting him a little bit. And when the door opened and Marco walked in, you know, Trump ordered him out immediately. But, you know, he said that he heard rumblings of the stock has fallen so low.
Listen, people are saying, I mean, we got firefighters getting shot off ladders. People are saying, Nick.
People are talking, dude.
That's all I can tell you.
The streets are talking. Well, that's a good place to end it with that visual, and we appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please see our socials, for crying out loud.
Yeah, YouTube, Reddit, and TikTok. Those are our favorites. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and beautiful Blue Sky. Join the sane masses on Blue Sky.
The Vocal Minority.net and our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. We'll see you next time.
Hi, everybody. It's Leon Musk. This wraps up another podcast of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, like a boner in a rubber, which I obviously never wear because I be trying to get bitches pregnant. Don't forget to be a champion and help spread this podcast like my seed. Until next time, Doge out.
We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.